Sometimes when the new season of a television series is coming up, I will watch the previous season's finale to remind me where the plot line has left off. The age of Netflix, right? And when I'm in the middle of a series, but it's been a while since I've watched an episode, I'll go back and remind myself what's going on. It's actually really nice. The same holds true if I'm reading a book, and I've taken a few days off between reading, and I need to go back and review the previous chapter to help me enter back into the story or re-engage with the author's argument. I'm afraid that when we hear the lectionary readings each Sunday, we aren't familiar with the context, we may have a similar experience of fuzziness and confusion, and we may miss the point that Jesus or Paul or one of the Hebrew prophets is trying to make. But in all likelihood, I'm guessing the gospel text this morning is so familiar that we are likely to simply tune out because we have heard it so many times. We already know the moral of the story, so rather than tune in and hear something new the Spirit might want us to hear, we go somewhere else in our minds. Perfectly natural, I do it too. Oh, I know what this is about. I preached on this text so many times, I could write this homily in my sleep. But what I try to do each week is to come to the text with new eyes and new ears and ask God to show me something that I haven't seen or heard before, some way that this scripture might reshape my life and my relationships so that I might be more faithful to who God is and who God has called me to be. And that's my prayer for you as well. So today we have one of Jesus' best known and best loved parables, commonly called the parable of the prodigal son, also known as the parable of the loving father. It's the third of three parables Jesus told in this section of Luke's gospel about finding lost things. You know the other two that weren't read this morning, the lost sheep, where the person in the story discovers one of his 99 sheep has gone missing. So he leaves the 99 and goes searching for the one until he finds it. And when he does, he brings that lost sheep home and he throws a big party for all his friends to celebrate. I found my sheep. And the second story in this section, the parable of the lost coin, where the woman has lost 10% of her wealth and she wasn't even invested in the stock market. One of her 10 silver coins has gone missing. And so she lights a lamp and sweeps her house until she finds that lost coin. And then she does the same thing as the sheep owner. She invites all her friends over to celebrate. Hey, I found my lost coin. Come celebrate with me. Now, in each of these stories, there's a couple of things that are common. One is everybody celebrates when they found what they're looking for. And the second is that each concludes with a statement like this one. Just so, Jesus said, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, you may have missed how our lection reading of this morning's gospel begins, but you probably did notice that it leaves out those first two parables. All three parables are introduced by the author of Luke's gospel this way. These are the first few lines of which you heard this morning. It goes like this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them these parables about the lost things. Jesus' third parable then begins like this. There was a man who had two sons. You know the story. Jesus' Jewish audience would have heard the beginning of this parable as a common beginning of several stories of their Hebrew heritage, beginning with Adam, who had two sons, Cain and Abel. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Shall I go on? So the crowd may have wondered, oh, goody, I wonder which story Jesus is going to tell us. We know this one. We know this one. It's about a guy who had two sons. But remember the context that Luke begins with. Tax collectors and sinners were being welcomed by Jesus. Oh my. And even having table fellowship with him, that means they ate with him, which meant that Jesus was not just being polite, but making them part of his social group, even his extended family, you might say. And that was scandalous to the Pharisees and the scribes, who valued their outward show of piety and self-righteousness. We don't associate with that kind. So these parables, and the prodigal son in particular, is about people who consider themselves better than others, the scribes and the Pharisees. And the people that the scribes and the Pharisees saw as outside the bonds of God's love and care. And then it's also about those people who see themselves as needing love and fellowship and relationship with this man, Jesus, whom they see as representing God, as God's chosen one. Of course, the younger brother in Jesus' story represents these tax collectors and sinners, who have come to themselves, you might say, and decided to throw themselves on the mercy of Jesus. And Jesus, like the father in the story, runs to accept them. The older brother, who has done everything right, everything his father has asked, and hasn't even asked for a little goat to have a small party, resents the grace the father extends to this younger brother upon his return. The older brother is the representative of the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, what does the father do when the older brother refuses to welcome his younger sibling back into the family? The father goes and finds his older son, just like he ran to the younger son upon his return. And he tells that older son that he loves him and says, whatever he has is his. Because family is not about things which can be divided up, but it's about relationships. It's about the love that we share and the care we have for each other. This father will never give up on having a relationship with his kids. And that's the point Jesus wants us to hear. The only way we won't hear that is if we're like the Pharisees and the scribes or the older brother, and see ourselves in a transactional relationship with God. God loves me because I do certain things right. I obey all those commandments we just recited at the beginning, or I don't do other things that might make God not like me. I don't cuss or drink or smoke or go with people who do. No. God's love is not transactional. God is love. God desires relationship with you and with me and with those we might think are less deserving than us. Or, for some of us, more deserving than us. God simply loves you and the one we see as outside the bounds of God's love. And if that's who God is, then that makes all of us family. Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And we can too. Amen.